Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Again, that's Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Sure, I turned the microphone on. Good morning, church.
Morning.
You know, as these days keep pressing on, the more of a difference I see. Our worship service hasn't changed all that much in the last few years, if you haven't noticed. The preacher changes from week to week, and the message might be a little different from week to week. But the worship service has kind of stayed the same, and yet the world that we're living in is getting different all the time. And what I see is a difference of this church, and it's a sanctuary from the world. When I come in here and I hear the brethren and the sisters singing together the praises of God, you don't, it makes my hair and my neck stand up, because I think, wow. You don't see this in out there in the world. You don't see this at Walmart. You don't see this at your place of work. You don't see this common bond that we have together here. And it's truly a precious thing, this family that we have together. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Let us, before I get going here, let's have a word of prayer. Oh, Father, thank you so much for the family that we have. Thank you for the guidance that you give us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for Jesus dying on our behalf. Father, I pray that you would speak on my behalf today and speak through me, and may the words not be my own. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have notes today. I don't normally have notes, but I scribbled all these out within like 3 minutes yesterday at work. I sat down on my desk and just wrote them all down. So I'm going to open up with a scripture today. It's the road to Emmaus. This is in Luke chapter 24. If you're not familiar with this story or this passage of scripture, what had just happened was Jesus had just died on the cross for humanity. God's greatest gift that had, in fact, the universe's greatest gift that had ever been given was laid out on Calvary. Jesus, the God of the universe, suffered the death that we all deserve. And the plan that he had laid out from the foundations of the world, even before then, was laying out before them. The angels were witness to everything that God told them he was going to do. They saw it happen before their very eyes. The devil had been proven to beyond a shadow of a doubt to be a liar, and through his hatred on that day at Calvary, he was proven once and for all that his way is not the right way. Okay, at Calvary, that's when the universe discovered that Satan's plan had failed 100%, not even 99.9. It's like, well, what if this or what if that? At Calvary, Satan was defeated. Okay. And it was at that moment that the universe got to see that God is just, he's fair, and he knows what he's doing. So now the only thing left for God to do now is to convince us stupid humans that he's just, he's fair, and he knows what he's doing. And he's giving us a chance. He's letting us to go forward here to grow, to know him, to experience him, to have him in our lives, to in him we move and he breathes and we have our being, right? I'm misquoting scripture here, but you know what I'm talking about here. So part of this, so this is in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. The beginning of the chapter says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they went down to the sepulcher and the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out as the triumphant king." Okay. Fast forward here to verse 13. It says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. and they talked together all these things which had happened. They're trying to process in their brain, what have we seen today? What does all this mean? It's trying to wrap their minds around the scriptures that they did know and to see the darkness, to see the earth quake at the presence of their Savior being crucified. There was no doubt. He said even the Roman centurion, the hardened, war-hardened, you know, centurion of the Roman army is like, wow, surely this was the Son of God. So these two gentlemen are walking along to Emmaus and are trying to process what they're seeing here. And then while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. How awesome is that? They're trying to process all this information. They're trying to see what they get. And Jesus sidles up beside them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said to them, what are you talking about? What manner of communications are these that you have to one another as you walk in? Why are you so sad? The greatest gift that had ever been given to the universe. And he's like, why are you so sad? And one of them saying, who was Cleopas, answering and said to him, art thou a stranger? Have you not seen what happened? Do we not know what's going on? And so he goes, oh, what you talking about? What things? This is as I read, what things? And so they proceed to tell him the story. They were testifying. In fact, they were giving their testimony, not to other church people. They were giving their testimony to Jesus. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. This is what the terrible things that were done to this poor man, Jesus. And so he walked with them and he talked with them. And so they were sharing, they were communing with Jesus and they didn't even know it. This is how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified. But we trusted that had been he which he should be redeemed Israel. And beside all this, and so they were making the admission here that they were trying to process everything that they had seen. It says, and then when they had found not his body, there came saying that they had also seen visions of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were went with us to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, he wasn't there. And Jesus, he pipes in, he says, O fools, of slow in heart to believe in all that prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them the very things that were burning inside of their hearts. The very questions that they had. Jesus was going line by line by line, processing all the information that they had, okay? And they drew near to the village, and just as they were getting to the village, and they constrained him, saying, well, hey, this is really great. Thank you for explaining this to me. Could just stay with us, please? Stay with us and have a meal with us. They've just met a friend and they've been walking together for I don't know how long, and they said let's just stop and have a meal together. And it came to pass as he sat at meat, that's food, with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight, and they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? And so they were so excited about this, they had to go back and tell their friends and neighbors, we saw Jesus. Jesus had entered their life, and it now had permanently marked them, it permanently changed them to go forward here. Coming back to this idea, though, is that he left. He left, right? So Jesus, he preached, he rose from the tomb, right? He walked and talked with the disciples for 40 days on the earth, and then he told them to go to Jerusalem, right? To go back to Jerusalem and to wait until the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes. So then, So he was there. Let me get my timeline straight in my head here. He went up, talked with them for 40 days. He went up to the Mount of Olives, okay? On the Mount of Olives, he goes up there and he talks with them one last time. And these guys, they were so excited to be with Jesus, they didn't realize that this was the last time they would physically see him in their presence. John did a little bit later on, but most, for the rest of them, that wasn't the case, okay? He starts to rise up into heaven, and he says, "Go ye into therefore into the world, teaching to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." He gives them the great commission to go out into the world, and he rises up away from them, out of the clouds into heaven, right? The angel's standing there going, "Why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who went out in this manner is going to come back in like manner." What would it be like if Jesus didn't go away? What would it be like if Jesus stayed here and became this triumphant king, and he could have rose up an army that would have overthrown even Rome? Oh. But that's not what God chose to do. He chose to leave us behind. If you go back and read in John chapter 14, it says that, "Behold, I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if it's not, I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven. If it's not true, I wouldn't have told you. Let not your hearts be troubled." Jesus was trying to prepare them for this moment. And I'm thinking, why? Why? What if Jesus just stayed behind? Somehow, the children of Israel, before he came as a man and died in our behalf, they had to live by faith, correct? Okay, so now the people who, after he goes back into heaven, the prophecies and the scriptures have been fulfilled, we have to live by faith. And there's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that he left us here. And a lot of times I have so many questions. Oh, why, Lord? Why does it have to be like this? Why do we have to struggle? And why does this have to happen? And why is this person being mean to me? And this, I have all these things processing in my head. It's like, why, Lord, why? Trouble is, I want what I want, and I want it now. Okay? I am selfish by nature, and the Lord is beating it out of me slowly. Blow by painful blow. And I'm not sure that, it's not always a bad thing, right? He's doing it in such a way where he's convincing me that, oh, I don't really need this. This isn't helping me. This isn't making my life any better. This isn't making the lives of anybody else any better. It's all part of God's plan. And so I was surfing the internet this week, and somebody had posted that they were so grateful that the parable of the night, the lost sheep, and said that, the person left the 99 behind to go look for that one lost sheep, and they said, "I am so grateful that Jesus went out looking for me." Okay, so being the jerk that I am, I responded like dot dot dot. "Now you need to go look for other sheep." Dot dot dot. We have within us, when we get to know Jesus, this wonderful moment. When we come out of the world, when we meet Jesus, when we see him in the scriptures, when his light floods our life and we see that the forgiveness. I've been torturing the church here with the song, "The Wonder of It All." I watch the news, or I used to watch the news. I still hear bits and pieces of it, and I look at the world and I don't want to. That's not what God intended. Whatever the news is putting on here, that's not what God intended. I can tell you that. And when you see these horrible things happening around you, I just keep reminded of the idea that God loves that person. God loves that what those people in that country or whatever is happening. God loves them so much that he sent his son, and he sent us to go out there. And so this is the wonder of it all, that God would love us that deeply. Because I've seen how bad people can actually be, how horrible people can be, and God will still love us anyway. God will still keep us and send out, do everything he possibly can to save us. How awesome is that? When we come to the realization that we really don't deserve what God is giving us, this gratitude fills your heart, right? So that's where it starts. We start to realize that God loves us. We start to realize that the scriptures are true. We start to realize that he's given these his prophecies, and we join the church and we get baptized, and we have this honeymoon time with the Lord, right? But if that's as far as your experience goes, you're never going to get to know the fullness of Christ Jesus. God says, that's awesome. But that's where we forge our new life going forward with Christ. This is where we have that experience where we meet, we're like on the road to Damascus, Paul meets Jesus, speaks to him. He changes his heart. And from there, he goes on to 3 years in the desert alone with Jesus. And that's where his whole life becomes fashioned and patterned, and it puts him in the right direction to do the right thing. Okay. But if we just come to church once a week, you know, maybe read a little bit from our Bible and just we have a quick prayer in the morning and we do nothing else, we're never going to be fully developed and fully grown up Christians in the Christian faith. This has to be more. There's a part where praying is not enough. And some of you guys might pick me up and throw me out the door for saying that, okay? But there's a part for prayer, 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 and then there's a part for do, okay? If you can tell, If I eat all the time and I don't get enough exercise, guess what happens? My body says, not so good, right? And that's what happens to us spiritually as well. We have to get out there and we have to flex our faith muscles. We have to go out and we have to do something. Well, what is that something? Our scripture today was in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. And for a lot of... I see a lot of people that are struggling, a lot of people who are Christians even. They suffer with depression. Some of the most interesting fights I've ever heard of in church were over what color carpeting we're going to have, whether we have asphalt or gravel. And you know how that happens? Yeah, Brad, look at me like, you're crazy, man. No, that's real. That's a real thing. And it's because we're coming together, we're worshiping, we're doing our club thing, but we're not flexing our faith muscles, going out and doing the Great Commission. Okay. We're focused on the wrong thing. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Here we go. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, right, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What was Christ's mission to do? It was to restore us and then to fulfill God's mission. So now he says, so send I you. He's telling you, I want you to do my work. I want you to be my body, my flesh, to go out. And when you fulfill the Great Commission, you're doing it because I live in you, not you who live, but now it's Christ who lives in you. And we're giving that forward to God. And that's how God can forge us and mold us into this character that's going to be ready for heaven when Jesus comes in the clouds. Hebrews 6, verse 9. Paul here was talking to his Hebrew believers, trying to convince them that Jesus was the Messiah. They had seen these things. They had seen the earthquake. They had seen the dark day. He goes through the whole laundry list of things that happened in the sanctuary that were pointing to Jesus as their Messiah, okay? Hebrews, all my chapters are 6 today. It's Hebrews 6, Ephesians 6, Galatians 6. 6:9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things accompany salvation through thus we speak. Paul is saying, I am working my hardest. I'm trying to work myself to the fingers to the bone here. We're God wants us to call up. We are persuaded, what's it say here? We are persuaded better things of you. He's saying, I want the very best life that you can have, and I'm trying to tell you how to do that through this faith, this forging, this new life in Jesus Christ. Okay. So now I'm going to sound like a prosperity preacher, right? Because that's what they do. The guys who sell the books on TV and the guys who are trying to sell you the condo units, they're prosperity preachers. They give you hope. Well, I'm here to tell you that there is hope. You can have your best life now. That is a book title, but that you can have your best life now. But that happens as we pour ourselves out through Christ. I was always wondered, why aren't our people raising the dead? Why aren't our people speaking in tongues? Why aren't our people performing miracles and picking up snakes and the things that the scriptures tell us about? It's a good question, I think, isn't it? My favorite quote of all time in Mrs. White is this: God never sends his Holy Spirit to sanctioned ignorance, okay? So we want these Holy Spirit gifts. We want the Holy Spirit thick in our lives to go out and to do these wonderful things, but we have to pour that out of us. We cannot take in. You know what happens down around Jerusalem, the Dead Sea? The Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea and doesn't go anywhere. That water is toxic to fish. Nothing lives in it. We can't take and not and be okay. So here's the deal. If you want God's Holy Spirit to flow through you in mighty ways, we have to go out and do God's work in mighty ways. That's the only way that we can be healthy and happy and have our heads right, so we're not fighting over what color of carpet to put on the ground or whether we put asphalt down or gravel or some dumb thing. Why did Jesus leave? I keep asking myself this question. Why couldn't he just stay here? He's God. He can do anything, right? Let him just stay here and raise up this kingdom. But no, he wanted us to do that so that we would grow up and develop and grow up into the fullness and the stature that he is expecting us to become. Was it Revelation 1:6? Tells us. So this is John being introduced, reintroduced to Jesus here. Verse 5 says, from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. And he says, this is talking what Jesus did for us, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God has made you a priest and a king in his sight. Can you imagine, John? You don't deserve that. I know you don't deserve it, John, but God has made you a king and a priest. I know I don't deserve it, absolutely don't deserve it. That's how much God thinks of you, and that's where our mind has to be, that we are that beloved of God, and that our God is calling us to go forward and to do something for him. And so now you're asking yourself, well, what does he want me to do? Well, not everybody's called to be a street preacher, okay? And not everybody's called to the pulpit. Not everybody's called to start a homeless shelter ministry. And not everybody's called to do a food ministry or a prison ministry. But we're all called to do something, okay? And sometimes it's the little things. In fact, it's usually the little things that matter, okay? Something as small as joining a prayer meeting. Just getting together with our fellow believers. And that's what we do here. We get together with our fellow believers and we start praying for one another. When Ida is sick, Ida, we're praying for you. So, not happy that you're sick, but I'm happy that all these people here are part of God's ministry, praying for you, doing God's will. Okay. So, what we got to do to get ourselves out of depression, the anger, the rage, the whatever things because of the world has been treating us really bad, we need to get beyond that and to get into something that's bigger than ourselves. We need to give glory to God in all that we do and let God grow us as we go. And the more you do for the Lord, the more his Spirit will flow through you and the more miracles you're going to see. That's a promise, okay? Will it happen tomorrow? I don't know. Probably not. But day by day, line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line, precept upon precept, God is going to grow and make us stronger and better and make us. And that's the hope that we search for. That's the hope that we long for, to be fulfilled, to have that joy that's in our life, to radiate the love of Jesus Christ, because he is forming us and molding us into his image. Your outlook will improve. Your situations will look different. The warfare that we have is not about us. Oscar reminds me of that all the time. It's not about you, fool. Our warfare is not with principalities and powers. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Yeah. Starts at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is working so hard to... So he's like, okay, fine. You want to go to church? You go to church. And you want to join this club and do this and, you know, this. But he's going to keep you busy. This is from a C.S. Lewis book, by the way. Busy, busy, busy. So busy with the cares of this world that we don't have time to spend time with Jesus to take those burdens to him and to say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't like any of this, and I pray that you would lead me through that. And then when the outcome doesn't go the way you expect, to say, it's okay. It's okay. God is in control. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are at war. We are at war with an enemy that we can't always see. And sometimes that enemy is me. Thanks be to Jesus Christ who walks and talks with us and shows us the better way. And he puts us, not only did he save me, but he filled my life with overflowing with all these wonderful gifts. But not only that, he put me to work and said, okay, now so send I you to go out into the world. And whatever that is that he's calling you to do, I don't know. But it has to be something. We have to give back to God something in our service. In our time, in whatever. And it doesn't have to be in these huge, monstrous ways. It could be something as small as just praying with your fellow believers. Sharing your lunch when it needs to be shared or whatever. I don't know. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. What good is the truth if we don't share it, right? And having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Right doing. Very good. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, of right doing. Okay, that means, that doesn't mean keep it to yourself. It means right doing. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What good is the gospel if we don't share it? And then we get what we're talking about, your feet being shod. It's talking about shoes. What do you have shoes for? So we can go walking, so we can go out. And above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we don't have to react to every single stupid thing that happens to us. We can stand there with our shield of faith, knowing that God is in control. Justin, I need to preach a sermon to myself once in a while. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with a prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So that means pray for your fellow brothers and sisters who are in the same boat. We're working together for the same end, so the gospel can be put out, go either into all the world, so that way Jesus can come again. That's what we're waiting for. For the angel's message to cover the entire earth, so the man of sin can rise up, and then Satan can be shown once and for all, not only to the universe, but us stupid humans, that his plan has failed. This is where we're at. This is where we're headed to. This is what we need to put our eyes forward and to serve Jesus Christ. Solomon here. The sermon title actually is longer than what I put in the bulletin. It's Blessed by the Best, Praying for the Rest, Never Under Distress, Sir. Whatever my circumstances, whatever your circumstances are, Know this, that you are beloved, you are a priest and a king for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. a son and daughter of God who's been put to work, and he's putting his glory into you. He's shaping your life into his image so that way you can reflect his character to other people. God is remaking you into his image. And what we got to do is let him. But what do? Me, mine. No. Not like that, Lord. No. Who am I? Let's pray that we'll be ready on that great day when Jesus comes again, that we can be part of this, that we can fulfill the mission that Jesus is calling us to do, to share that gospel, to preach the word, and to be vessels of the Holy Spirit so that we can, when we pour that out onto others, God will refill that with even more. God, the bodybuilders, they don't get strong, they don't lift the weights once and all of a sudden they have big muscles, right? No, that takes time. But everything that we do has a place and a purpose and a time, and God will give you what you need when you need it, and God will grow you to the stature that he has intended us to be. And this is where we're headed, folks. I hope that you're with me on this mission. God is awesome. The Word of God is awesome. And we have nothing in here, this scripture, that tells me anything bad other than what this world is a bad place and you don't want to be part of it. Okay, got that one. Let's pray. Father, only you can transform our lives. Only you can place us in these situations where we have no control. We never did have any control, Father, and we just finally realize that you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Fill us, Lord, to overflowing so that we can share this. Father, help us to do your will and to be your hands and feet on this earth. We pray in Jesus' name.